of us. And that is basically some of the background. Now, just to give you kind of an idea of I thought was so amazing, you have the Bhagavatam, which gives you the different stories of Krishna's incarnations, who he is, who he was, and in that way, the first incarnation that you see is Korma, right? It's one of the first ones where he's a fish, Matsya. He's a fish first, right? And then from the fish, he becomes Korma, which is a turtle. Now he's amphibious. So he's in the water. Now he's amphibious. He's on land, right? Then he's Varaha, which is a bull, which is a boar, right? So now he's coming into his mammal self, right? And then he becomes half man, half lion, Narasimha, right? So this is who we have. And this is what tonight is going to be about. Then from that, he moves to another incarnation of Ram, which is much... Oh, I'm sorry. He goes to Vamana then, which is a dwarf. So it's like a lower being of human. And then from that, he becomes Ram.
Parshurama.
And then Ram. And the idea... And then he becomes Balaram and then Krishna. Balaram, he carries a hoe. Like, they all carry stuff, right? Mm-hmm. He carries a hoe. He's a farmer. The agriculture. So there's an evolution, not different at all from our Western biomedical evolution of coming from the sea and moving through different incarnations of ourself, right? And more refined of ourself. Where Ram, he's a being and a very, very full, right? And then with Balaram and Krishna, you have even more love, right? And that's where we are right now in the story, so to speak. But so tonight's story is about Narasimha. Now in the back, you see. Now there's a traditional prayer that they chant every morning, and this prayer I kind of sparsed out some of it because we're such newbies at this. I felt like it was too much to give the whole thing, right? And then you're trying to learn something, so I figured we just learn a few verses of it, and this way we have it in our kind of in our consciousness and in our mind, right? So the first repeat after me: Namaste.
Namaste.
Narasimhaya.
Narasimhaya.
Praladala.
Praladala.
Dayine.
Dayine.
Very good. And then Keshavadrida.
Keshavadrida.
Narahari Rupa.
Narahari Rupa.
Jaya.
Jaya.
Jagadisha.
Jagadisha.
Hare.
Hare.
Jaya Jagadisha Hare. So, we'll go through what these all mean, but I just have to say them so we get them in our kind of mouth and how to move our mouth around the mantra, right? Okay. So what we have here, I set up like a little altar, right? And Krishna says in the Gita, but this is just across the board of offering things. You offer a fruit, so I put an apple up there. I offer a flower. We have flowers, very fancy flowers, right? Fancy flowers. We have a lamp, right? We have light, we have fire. We have incense burning, and I offered incense, right? So, and I have water up here. So very simple. That's it. That's all we're asking. That's all God is asking for, right? Push pom balam toyam, right? It's just basically I'm just offering very simple things. Doesn't even ask for money. Right? And everybody wants money. That's why they call it money. Right? But the idea, everybody wants money, right? But Krishna, God, he just wants a fruit, a flower, some water. Maha jokes around. I said, how are you doing these? They're just good. They're on the prison diet. They just get water and gruel. but that's even... Part of it. I read this one story about this one very exalted being, and it's supposed to be in his previous life, he was addicted to this prostitute, and him and this prostitute got in an argument, and they were like, and they stayed up on this one very auspicious night for Narasimha, and they stayed up arguing, and her name was a version of Nasringadev, so it was like, he kept saying her name, and she said her name a few times. So, and they argued all night. They stayed up, and they were in such an argument that they didn't even eat. So they were fasting on this very auspicious night.
Oh my God!
Right? Wow!
And it's like they're saying the name,
whoa,
and then they're staying up late, and it's like, and then it's the sun comes up, right? And they did this a very big auspicious thing, right? And through it, in their next birth, they both take birth as these exalted devotees because they stayed up by accident, right? There's all these stories like that from India in the tradition, which I think they're great. It's almost like mistaken enlightenment. But, you know, so even tonight, even us just gathering and hearing this story, part of the tradition is Leela. Like, to hear Leela is part of the tradition to understand. And that this is part of the sadhana. Part of the practice is to chant in large groups, is to chant by yourself, and it's to hear Krishna katha. Katha, like stories of Krishna. Right? So that's what we're doing tonight. And it's such a nice thing because we get to engage our mind in a different way than we typically do if we're just at home watching YouTube or Netflix. And we get to hear and imagine and use your mind. It's one of the things in Tantra, in yogic, tantric yoga, is you're engaging the mind to create a whole mandala, a whole almost story in your mind, right? And your mind becomes sharper in the process. And in the process of hearing the Leela and the Katha,
hi,
the same type of thing happens, right? We use the mind. We'll start off, and we'll just do a Panchatattva mantra, just for good measure, because without Chaitanya coming through and giving us this gift of kirtan, I certainly wouldn't be here, and I don't think Maha would be here, I don't think Nancy would be here, I don't think Sai would be here, I don't think Sasha would be here, I mean, none of us would really be here, so it's nice to start with the Chaitanya, the Panchatattva mantra. So let's listen first. Nitya Nanda there's different planets here. Just close your eyes for a moment and imagine this. But there's millions of other planets. There's millions of other planets. And you right now are a time traveler. Where you can interject yourself into other planets with other beings, other dimensions, and that you yourself and me and everything here is from the stars. You are literally made of stardust. One of my favorite definitions of God doesn't come from the Indian tradition at all. It's from a Judeo-Christian minister. And she says, somebody asked her to define God. And she says, I know that God isn't necessarily here for my material pleasures and to necessarily even make my life easier. But it's more for me to be of service to God. And this God knows me by name and the stars by name. And I just think that's amazing. So everything I said has zero to do with yoga, and it has everything to do with science and how we understand that. That's the science of it. So now, that's pretty wild. So if we can accept that, maybe we'll accept some of these fantastical stories we're going to hear right now, because we can accept that we're stardust. So in that way, and it's not that far off as far as the other planets thing and other beings and dimensions, and it's stardust. It's not that different. So imagine there's a place called Vaikuntha, which is a very opulent version of heaven, where the main version of God there is so beautiful. Like, you just can't take your eyes. You wouldn't be able to take your eyes off. Like, you think of the most beautiful thing you can think of here for this planet. I don't know, the ocean. You know, a mountain, a landscape, something like that, right? And it's like, you know, when Krishna walks by, they say the rocks swoon. Think about if you could make a rock swoon. Like a rock fall in love. That's how beautiful Krishna is. One of my teachers said that he worked with this guy from The Fast and the Furious who died.
Paul Walker.
Paul Walker. See, Shelley knows.
Mm-hmm.
Shelley likes Paul Walker.
Mm-hmm.
and he said, and he goes, he worked on film and stuff in Hollywood. This is Gorvani. And he said, when I met Paul Walker, and Gorvani's married, got kids. He goes, when I met Paul Walker, he is so good looking. I couldn't talk. He's like, I didn't know what to say, right? He was starstruck. He was like in awe of this just handsome man. And he goes, what would it be like to see the creator of the universe who created beauty? What would that be like to put your eyes on that? He's like, you wouldn't know. So anyway, so this place, Vaikuntha, it's where Vishnu is. So our story begins on another planet in another time. It's very Star Wars, right? It's like it goes back and back and back and back, layers and layers of births. Right? So our story begins at Vaikuntha. And you have the four Kumars. Now the four Kumars are sons of Brahma. They're created by Brahma's mind. Brahma is the creator of the material world. He's not God, but he's a version, he's a very powerful being that creates the material universe. So Brahma created his sons, his first sons, with these four Kumars. And they decided at a very young age, they go, you know what, we don't want to get older. We're going to stay at like 4 or 5 years old, and we're just going to be naked, and we're going to stay in that state. You ever look at a picture of yourself when you're like four or five and you're like, I was just concerned with Thomas the Tank. your life revolves around that, right? Or Barbies or whatever you were into, right? G.I. Joe, whatever. It was like
He-Man.
Polly Pockets,
there you go. Nowadays it's like Pokemon, and right, you're consumed by that. And then something happens around 10, 11, 12, and your sex hormones kick in, and you become kind of an idiot. And all of a sudden, you look at pictures of yourself, and you go, where's that sweetness, that innocence? It's because our consciousness changes. So the four Kumaras, they knew that, and they were like, we don't want any part of that. We just want to stay pure. And we want to stay, but they're enlightened beings, but at the same time, they're in these little bodies. These represent the four Kumars. Those are your guys in here. So to me, these represent the four Kumars. And that's what they, and they're these exalted beings, very spiritual, great sages. And to get to Vaikuntha, we can't get to Vaikuntha right now, right? We have too much baggage. We would need to go through other planets, and we would need to refine our karma to get to these more exalted planets. We don't have access. We can all see that. Like, we can't even, we can barely get to the moon. Maybe we did, maybe we didn't, I don't know. But we can barely get to the moon. And we certainly can't get to another planet yet. And if we did get to another planet, it's probably not going to be an opulent one. So there's barriers to what we can do. We're kind of locked here in this age that we're in. Vaikuntha, on the other hand, is a very opulent planet. It's like you get to go out to the best restaurant every night, and it's very beautiful. And like these things, like, it's just a different experience of life, and everybody looks like Vishnu. Everybody's so beautiful, right? And everybody's has that glow about them. And you go, are you Vishnu? Are you Vishnu? Because we all look like Vishnu. But Vishnu has a Kastuba gem, which that's what brings him out. But he's surrounded by these buzzing bees, which are emanating, because he's emanating the scent like a flower. And his nails are like rubies. Like, it's like, it's very, very opulent. So, they have two guardians there that are guarding the gates that you can't get in. But even to get to that planet, you have to be very exalted. So there's Jai and Vijay, these two guards. And for them to be there, they have to be great devotees of the Lord. An exalted being. So that they see these kids coming up the gate. Four little kids. What are you doing here? Kids, get out of here. And they're like, we're the four Kumars. Easy. And they're like, get out of here, you kids. Get lost. You're not supposed to be here. How'd you even get here? You don't have any clothes on. Leave. You're little. And then they get a little wrathful because they're exalted beings. They're the original beings, right? They're the sons of Brahma. It's like they're legit. At that time, Vishnu is talking to Lakshmi, and they're discussing. Lakshmi says his lady, right? And she says, "No, I've never seen you fight." And she's massaging his hands. She goes, "Your hands are so soft. Are you really good at fighting?" And she questions him, and he says, "Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay. I got some tricks up my sleeve." And she goes, "I don't believe you. I want to see you fight." So they're having this little thing. They're like talking and whatever, and they're just discussing this, that she's never seen him really be the warrior that everybody talks about, and that he has this chakra that he can do things with. So she, as they're having this conversation, he gets a call on his cell phone. Very, very fancy cell phone. And it's Jai and Vijay. And they go, I think we might have a problem here. There seem to be these kids here, and I thought they were little, but I'm getting the sense that they're a little bit exalted and kind of powerful, and I think they just cursed us. And Vishnu goes, I'll be right there. So he comes down, and he comes out, and he sees the four Kumars, and he embraces them, and they see him, and they're like, and they were very impersonal. Like, their understanding of divinity was very impersonal. So they start climbing on Vishnu, and they're looking at his toes and his nails, and they're like hanging on his dhoti, and they're like, oh my God, because they're still kids, right? But they're like so enthralled with him, and they fall deeply and madly in love. And Vishnu's, you know, very happy to see them. And he looks at Giant Vijay, and he goes, well, what happened? And he goes, well, we thought they were kids, and we kind of kicked them out. And then they cursed us. And Vishnu's like, all right, we gotta do something here, right? And there's Lakshmi, because Lakshmi came with him, and he's like, thinks about the talk they were just having. He said, okay, I'll, what's the curse? And they go, well, they have to take birth on an earthly planet where karma is like a thing. And they're like, no, we don't want to go to Earth. No earthly planet, please. Those places, they're like, you know, you get happy and you get sad and it's really tough. And how do we operate? No, we don't want to go there. We don't, please, no. And they got, he goes, well, they've already made the curse, so I can't go back on the curse. But I'll make a caveat with you. You can take 7 births as my great devotee, or you can take 3 births as my greatest enemy. And Jaya and Vijaya were like, okay, let's do the enemy thing. That sounds like fun. Like, I can be the enemy? I'm down. Let's do it. I'll be the enemy guy. Yeah, that'll be fun, right? And Vishnu's like, all right, cool. You know? And in that way, that's Giant Vijaya's play. So, right away, this story starts out where evil or good and bad aren't so clearly defined as we think here. We think you're bad, I'm good. Or, you know, that's a bad deed. I'm good, right? It's like, it's dualistic. And in that genuine, in the grander scheme, the bigger view, you can look at it and you can go, oh, we're all playing roles. I'm playing the Leela as Millard. This Leela, this time I come down, I'm Millard. Right now I'm 46, I'm a man, I like motorcycles and jujitsu and yoga and kirtan, and I like my friend Joe and Marilyn, right? It's like these are like, I don't like this thing, and I don't like that thing. You know, but I'm playing a role right now. Because I could very well come back and be a woman next time. Right? I could come back and be a dog next time. Who knows? So in that way, I am myself, right? And you are yourself. But we're playing a role. We're playing a leader. Just like Jaya and Vijay. So, Hiranyaksha was one of those incarnations of Jaya. And Vijay is his brother, who is Hiranyakashipu. Let's say that.
Hiranyakashipu.
Right? Hiranyakashipu. So even though these are bad dudes, these are demons, in their heart, they feel spirit souls. And they're still exalted beings playing this role. So who in your life is playing a role? Right? Who's playing a role in your life? I don't know, right? I have people that play a role, right? It's nice when you can get some space from the stuff, and you can look at it like this, and you can go, all right, maybe that's it. Because you don't have to demonize anybody. Because these are demons. Make no joke. It's no joke about it. Hiranyakashipu, bad dude. Did not do good things for the world, right? But he's really shocking. So, Hiranyaksha, he gets killed by Vishnu. That's his brother. So Hiranyakashipu hates Vishnu. His greatest enemy. And he's going to be filled with anger. And the anger is going to drive his yogic practice. But Vishnu created all this. He put that seed in his heart. He knew that he was going to put this seed of anger / love. And he put it in his heart. So this way it would drive him. And that's Hiranyakashipu. He is the demon of our story. Hiranyakashipu is a great yogi, though. So don't think just because somebody does yoga, oh yeah, we're great. Maybe not, right?
Right.
Because you could do yoga and develop really wicked powers. Star Wars is great for that, right? The dark side, the light, right? The force. It's like, you know, you can see Darth Vader. He's powerful, right? He's not powerful. He's powerful. So, you have Hiranyakashipu, who decides to do austerities, and he goes to the woods and he performs austerities, tapas, to perform, to get siddhis, magical yogic powers. And he starts to do this, and everybody starts getting worried because they can feel the force, right? In like Star Wars, they can feel the force start to shift. And they go, what's going on? In that there's a shift in the force. There's an evil entity sucking up prana from the earth. Mm. It's Hiranyakashipu doing his yogic practices, standing on one leg, arms raised in the air, never stopping, never ceasing. He starts to deteriorate. His physical body starts to deteriorate. Because he's only living on the air. But his essence, his spirit, is getting stronger and stronger. His physical body, he's basically bones. And he does this for thousands of years. Now, right before he went away, his wife got pregnant. They're born into a family of demons, right? So she's a demon, he's a demon. But when he went for austerity, she was pregnant. And she got lost one day in the woods, and she happened upon Narada Muni's ashram. Narada Muni is a great devotee of Lord Krishna. So she happens on this ashram, and she's pregnant. She's like, oh, I need to go somewhere. And Narada Muni knows what's going to happen. He's an exalted being, so he understands. So he knows she's pregnant, and he knows what's going to happen. So he says, come to my ashram. I will take care of you. I will protect you. So as she comes to the ashram, Narada Muni starts teaching her. Now she's pregnant. He knows this. And he's really speaking to the child inside. And he's educating. And he's teaching her about Krishna and Vishnu. Telling the stories. And all of this information is going into the womb. So Hiranyakashipu is there doing his tapas. Basically a bag of bones. He's covered in ants. You don't even see him anymore. He's covered in ants. So Brahma gets wind. Everybody's getting nervous. And they go and they say, oh, hey, we need to go down and you need to take care of this guy. Like these exalted beings, they can feel it. They go, something needs to happen. So Brahma goes down on his swan and he's looking for Hiranyakashipu. He can't see him. But he can feel his presence. He goes, where is he? He's looking left, he's looking right, he can't see him. He sees this mound of ants glowing. And he goes, there he is. So he goes over, and he has some water with him, some holy water. And he sprinkles this holy water over the ant pile. And as the holy water comes down and touches his body, his physical body reignites. And he comes to life. And he said, Brahma says, hello, Hiranyakashipu. You have done great tapas. You are a very exalted yogi. Let me give you a boon. And in reality, he's giving him this boon because he was let me give him something. So he stops. So he decides that he's like, what would you like? You've earned the boon. And he says, well, I want to be immortal. And Brahma says, no, you don't understand. I'm not even immortal. I die. So if I die, I can't grant you immortality. And he's like, well, okay. Well, let me just make it so I don't get killed by any man. And Brahma says, okay. He says, but I don't want to be killed by an animal. He says, okay. So I don't want to be killed by anything living or dying, living or dead. And he says, okay. He says, I don't want to be killed on the land or in the water. He says, okay. I don't want to be killed at nighttime or daytime. Got it. Mazel tov. Each time he's tapping his head,
he's
to his
mazel tov.
Right, he's right. It's a mitzvah. And each time he's agreeing. Okay. I don't want to be killed inside or outside. Okay. Mazel tov. Okay. It's happening, right? So he goes, I tricked Brahma. I'm smart, right? And I know what I did. Okay, good. Right? So he's thinking like Brahma's leaving and he's like, I've tricked him and one day I will go and kill him. At this time, Hiranyakashipu feels extremely emboldened. So he comes home from his great tapas and now his wife delivers and they have a baby. And the baby's name is Prahlad. And Prahlad comes out and he's very sweet. And he's not demonic. Right? He's born into this demonic family, but he's quite sweet. And Hiranyakashipu is like troubled by this. He's like, what's going on with my son? He's not evil enough. He's like kind to the other animals and he's like concerned about other people. And he's like, we're like warriors and we're like, we're demons. What's going on? It's kind of like Dr. Evil, where he's like asking his son, do you want to do an evil thing? Like, he's like, I want to be an artist. He's like, an evil artist? Like, he needs him to be evil, right? And that's literally what Hiranyakashipu wants from his son. He wants him to be demonic. And he's not. And it because of those teachings from Narada Muni. So then, at a certain point, he gets so frustrated with his son that he starts to try and banish him. And he's trying to find ways to kind of get rid of him. And none of the ways are working. He tries to get him lost in the woods one day, and he finds his way home. Hello, father. And he's like, you're back? He's like trying to get rid of this kid. Right? So much so that he eventually decides to try and kill his son. To kill his son. He tries to get his henchmen to kill him with a spear. And Prahlad's like laughing because he's chanting and the spears are like bouncing off his belly. And he's like laughing because he can't die. He throws him in a pit of snakes and he goes down there and he says, oh, my friends, the spirit souls, we all worship Vishnu together. And they all succumb to his sweetness. So Prahlad is this exalted being. And that story that I told about the person being addicted to the prostitute, that was Prahlad from his previous life. And that's why he was born into a demonic family. So he's born into this family because he's like, you know, he's kind of addicted to this prostitute thing. So he's like, he's got that karma in him. But then he did this austerity of staying up all night saying Nishringa, 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 right? While he's arguing with this prostitute whose name was that. And they stay up all night, they fast because they're so pissed off at each other. And then they get this boon and he comes out and he's Prahlad. But he doesn't feel demonic in his heart. He feels very peaceful and very in touch with Vishnu. Eventually, Hiranyakashipu gets so frustrated that he talks to Prahlad, and he sits him down, and he's yelling at him. And he's saying, what are you doing? Like, what do you really believe in? And he starts lecturing him and giving him these exalted teachings about Krishna and Vishnu. And Hiranyakashipu is getting enraged by this, because he's talking about the person who killed his brother. He's not happy. Like, his son is praising the very person that killed his brother. But Prahlad is filled with, you know, the divine aspect of the Lord. He's like, he feels peace and sweetness. And that's what he wants to convey to his father. He wants to save his father by introducing him to the very person that killed his brother. And you got to remember, this is Jai, Vijay, right? So it's put in their heart that they have to be angry and have to hate Krishna and Vishnu to play that role for us to hear the story, right? If everybody's sweet, right, in our life here on earth, everybody's not so sweet. And we encounter our versions of anger, hatred, lust, greed. All of these things come up. Can't control your senses. Prahlad, teaching this to his father, enrages his father. When his father hears the teachings, he gets so angry. He's like, I'm going to kill this kid. I'm going to kill him. Like, you might have felt this towards your own kids sometimes when they didn't even do anything that bad. I'm going to kill that kid when they get home. My son, he was like drinking a lot, you know, and whatever. And he was lying about it. And he drank at his stepdad's, and drank a $2,000 bottle of scotch. The stepdad got it for his retirement from Amazon. And my son didn't know that was not right. He didn't know that it was $2,000 bottle of scotch.
He didn't know he was throwing up a $2,000.
Right. Wow. So anyway, so I confronted my son, and he started to lie to me. And man, it was like the one time that I, like, at jiu-jitsu, we trained together, and I, like, put it on him. Like I've never put it on my son. But in jiu-jitsu, you could do it, because it's, like, grappling. So it's, like, not, like, I was always very sweet with him, and I wasn't sweet that time. Because he was lying, whatever. But that was me, and it was the biggest failure, I think, that I've ever had as a parent, is that, because he called me out on it. He's like, he goes, Dad, he goes, you. Afterwards, we talked about it, and we did have the heart-to-heart. We did clear it up, and I told him, he didn't know why I was putting it on. He's like, why is it? My dad's like going really aggressive at me right now. And he goes, this is a parent fail. And he goes, you know what you did when we rolled and you went hard? He goes, you took the thing that I feel safe in and where I feel safe with you, and you made me not feel safe. It was just one of those moments where I went, fail. fail as a parent today. And so it never works. Like when you want to kill your kid and you want to discipline them in some kind of way. It backfired. So Hiranyakashipu, he genuinely is demonic and wants to kill his son. I just wanted to aggressively do jiu-jitsu with my son. But he actually wants to kill his son. So in this way, Hiranyakashipu is set up he's going to kill him. And his son is pissing him off by talking about Krishna and God. And he says, Father, God, Vishnu, is everywhere. And he's giving him these examples. exalted teachings about like these subtle energies that everywhere you look, God is there. And in many ways, like if dark energy or dark matter, it's like Einstein's theory is flawed, and it's put in there that they know that there's too much energy in the universe. So they have to account for it, but they don't know what that energy is, so they call it dark matter. And it's just like a continuum of a mistake that they have to plug in because they don't understand it yet. But it's like Krishna, they call Krishna the dark one. Right? So what? Maybe that's it. Maybe all that excess energy that's floating around, Krishna is just everywhere. I mean, that's the idea. So what if Krishna was in everything and was everywhere? Because that's literally what it says in the Bhagavatam. This is what Prahlad is teaching his father. And he says, your God is everywhere? Your God is everywhere. Where is your God? Where is your God right now? Because I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Where's your God? Because you're about to die. Like, this is what he's telling his son. He says, is your God here? Is your God over there? Is your God in the floor? And Prahlad says, that's fine. He is. He's everywhere. Everywhere you look, he's there. And then just enraged. You're in a Christian. He's just enraged. And there's a pillar. They're outside in this portico. Like a portico is like a, it's like a, it's got a roof but no walls. You know? So as he sees this, he says, that's it. He says, I'm done. It's over, right? And he sees the pillar. And he says, where is your God? You say your God is everywhere. Where is your God? Is your God in the floor? He says, yes, Father. He says, is your God in this pillar? He says, yes. Oh my gosh, he'll get so angry. He takes his forearm and he slams it into the pillar. He breaks, shatters. Out of the pillar comes Narasimha, half man, half lion. Roar! Now, this is a peaceful version, not the wrathful version. He's calm. He's in meditation. He's pacified. That is not what comes out. What comes out is this. Look at the eyes. Right? Now, a half man, half lion. Red eyes. They say that the sound of a roar shook the worlds. Everybody backed away. Everybody's freaking out. What is this? What is this? Nobody knows what to do. Hiranyakashipu jumps out of the thing, of the pillar, and he starts playing with Hiranyakashipu, who is this very exalted warrior. He's not like, you know, some guy, right? This is like a great warrior. And they say that he plays with him like a cat plays with a mouse. And he's just toying with him. Hiranyakashipu is freaking out. Scared. Narasimha, he's enraged. Picks him up. Puts him on his lap. And he takes his claws. Goes in and opens him up. Wrathful. And the whole time Hiranyakashipu is going, I can't die though. Opening them up. In this way, it was twilight. So it was when the sun was going down. So it was neither day nor night. And he was being disemboweled by nails, by the chisels. Chisel-like nails, who But your nails continue to grow after you die. So they're not living, but they're not dead either, right? They're like this weird in-between thing. He was neither inside nor outside because they were under the portico. So in the portico, it came out, and it was like, and it's like the open walls on the side, right? But it's got like a roof. And then he wasn't on the land or in the sea because he was on Narasimha's lap. Right? So, and he was killed by not a man nor an owl. He was killed by a half man, half owl. So in this way, yeah, all those boons were still present, right? But Vishnu is, he's God, right? So he can figure those things out of how to present. So in essence, this story is about Vishnu, God, protecting a devotee, Prahlad. This protection. And there's a wrathfulness and a scariness to Narasimha that is present there. So we're going to chant our mantra and then we'll finish the story. But now we have some idea of who we're chanting to. So namaste means I offer my obeisances to Narasimha. Namaste, Narasimhaya. Aya means on to you, right?
Aya.
Prahlada-la-adanye, the one who gives joy to Prahlad Maharaj. Right? So, adanye, to give joy to Prahlad. And then Keshava-drita, oh Keshava. Keshava-drita-nara-hari-rupa, jaya-jagadisha-hare, oh Keshava. O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of all glories to you. So, Rupa is form. So it's the form of Krishna as half man, half lion. And Keshava is the name for Krishna, the one with the illustrious hair, the beautiful hair. It's very, and you'll hear this prayer. Like, if you go to the temple with Maha or me, you'll hear them chant this prayer. And it's quite beautiful. So this is the form. I just want to read from the book. This is from the Bhagavatam. Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord, trying to decide who the form of Narasimha standing before him was. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome, became because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold, his shining mane, which expanded his dimensions of his fearful face and his deadly teeth. It's one of the reasons why they use Keshava here, is the head and the mane, the hair is so beautiful. His razor-sharp tongue, which moved like a dueling sword. His ears are erect and motionless. His nostrils, gaping mouth, appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws, fearful. His entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and thick. His chest broad, his waist thin. The hairs on his body, white as rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rose with his conch shell, disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. So that's the form of Narasimha that Hiranyakashipu sees. So, whoa.
Namaste Narasimhaya. Namaste Narasimhaya.
kills Hiranyakashipu, he's enraged. He is. There was a jiu-jitsu guy, his name is Gordon Ryan, very famous, and there's another guy talking trash about Gordon Ryan, this other very exalted jiu-jitsu guy. And Gordon had just competed, and this other guy comes up, and he was talking trash online, but he wasn't competing, he was just watching that day. So he came, Gordon just got off the mat, and this guy decided to like make a spectacle and kind of like get some publicity and act like he was gonna like talk some smack to his face. But Gordon had just competed, so he's fired up. So the guy starts aggressively walking towards Gordon Ryan. And Gordon doesn't hesitate, just hits him, boom. Because he just saw it, because he was fired up, and he saw this guy coming at him. He was all jacked up already from his previous match. He was up, the guy was like, what are you doing hitting me? You know, but he was approaching him aggressively. Now that's like a small example, but when somebody's up, you don't necessarily want to go above them, right? So he hears God in his most wrathful form. So as peaceful, as loving as God is, imagine when God gets angry, all right? This is an intense energy. How do you do it? So that they start looking around and they're like, Brahma, can you maybe talk to him a little bit? Can you calm down? Because it's scary. And Brahma's like, I'm not going here. Let's get somebody else. And then they try and get this person and that person. Everybody's like, no. Finally, Lord Ganesh is a great devotee of Lord Nishimadev. So they say, Ganesh, why don't you go? You guys know each other. You're good friends. So Ganesh gets on his rat. Ganesh's animal is the rat, right? You can see it. It's at the bottom of Ganesh there. You can see on the big statue on the left-hand side of Ganesh's left leg.
Yeah, Ganesh.
The rat. And he's riding on the rat, right? And there's Ganesh with the rat, right? And he's starting to approach the Nisringadev. And he just goes, and he just exhales. The Nisringa exhales, and Ganesh just flies, does a bunch of flips, and he's like, yeah, I'm not going, right? And that's his buddy. So finally, Brahma says, you know, Prahlad, we're all here because of you. Civil situation, it's on you. What do you say? So Prahlad doesn't hesitate. And he goes over, and this is what we get. Look at the picture. Have you ever been held like that? It's nice.
What?
It's nice when you're held like that. There's a deep love there and a protection there. Right? You can see it in the, you can see the protection and how safe Prahlad feels. And think about it, Prahlad was being attacked by his father continually, threatened. And look at the love there. It's beautiful. And look at the power of the lion. It's a powerful picture. And it immediately pacifies. You ever get angry and then you see your child, like when they're little? I've been like all worked up and then I saw my son, he was like 3 or 4, and I was on the phone like, you know, and I was like arguing with somebody and my son like peeked his head around the corner and I was like, oh, and I like automatically was like, came down. That's basically what happens with Narasimha. He comes down quick with Prahlad. And that's what you have here. You have a peaceful version of Nisringadev in this statue. And when I had this made for me by a friend of mine in Mayapur, he said, do you want, everybody usually wants wrathful. Everybody usually wants wrathful Nisringadev. Oh yeah. like that's like the thing. And I was like, I want peaceful. Peaceful's good for me. I'm good with the peaceful. I like that version of it. But I always like the in martial arts, there's a great saying. It's better to be a warrior in the garden than a gardener at war. And I always like that version of Narasimha being peaceful. But the presence is there. You can still feel the presence of what's underlying that peacefulness. So in that way, Prahlad gets to commune with the deity. And in that, he knows he's in a demonic family and has demonic karma associated with him. What? And he's offered a boon for this. And he says, Lord, from seeing you, don't offer me a material boon because it will work through my heart in a weird way. Kind of like Gandalf doesn't want the ring in Lord of the Rings. He's like, don't give me the ring. I don't want to touch it. Like, Prahlad knows it. He's like, don't give me like a material boon. He goes, just let me call upon you to be in my heart. And that's the boon. It's beautiful. Jaya Nishimbe. Jaya Redbon. All right, guys. I'm sure there's more food. Tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you. Deepest gratitude, Millard.
Yes. Deepest gratitude, Shelley.
and to Maha and to Nancy and to everybody who came here tonight out of love.